Okay, we're on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So, in other words, the Gemara I've been talking about in this topic of Hafarat Nedarim. As a husband, not your husband, so among the many rights you acquired is the right to void your wife's Nedarim. Your wife makes a neder, you don't like it, you can say, it's cancelled. The discussion here is about a husband, but it's equivalent to a father. Everything in this coming sugya is relevant to a father as well as to a husband, even though it's phrased as being about a husband. So when the Torah says, v'shama isha, her husband hears her neder and then has rights with the limitations and a variety of limitations that we've been discussing. He has rights to cancel the neder within a certain time frame, etc. So the Gemara that we've been looking at has been trying to figure out v'shama isha, her husband hears it, dafka or lav dafka. Does the husband have to have heard the neder in order to cancel it?
You say heard the neder or heard about the neder?
Well, either one, but let's just. But the nafka mina we're trying to figure out is even if he didn't hear it, if you don't need to hear it,
like if it was a deaf person who couldn't possibly.
Well, that's what's. Since you always prepare ahead, you know that's the coming sugya. Can you make a preemptory hafara? The case the Gemara discussed last week is you're going away on a trip, so you say any nedarim that you will make while I'm gone are canceled in advance. So Gemara wants to know, how can you cancel in advance? The Pasuk says, Vishama Isha, her husband hears it, then he can cancel it. How can you cancel an neder that you haven't heard yet because it hasn't been stated yet? Right?
Basically, the only nafkamina here would be the requirement of the wife to keep to the neder. Let's say the husband didn't. He could always do it when he came home. But then the question is about the interim period of what the status of the wife is.
Well, the interim period is, and that is what we saw last week. We discussed this last week because there was a question from 2 weeks ago, right. And we reviewed stuff that we'd seen, and I think on our very first year, the question of what is the status of the neder? She makes, a wife makes a neder. What is the status of that neder until the husband either cancels it or ratifies it? So that is a neder l'chol davar. The only nafkamina is a machlokas rishonim of... Check your notes.
Does he actually have to hear it or not?
No. The only nafkamina about... The only shaila, the only question... about the neder in the interim period, from the time she makes it until the time he either ratifies it or cancels it, is if she violates her neder,
right,
and then he cancels it, is she off the hook for the punishment of having violated her neder, or is she still chayev for any violations of the neder while it was in effect?
Right.
So that's a machlokes shonim. So as Ben correctly intuited, the question of Vishama Isha, what would be a good litmus test to determine whether or not Shmia is Ma'akev?
Two different questions. One is the Shmia, and one is if you can do it before the Neder.
Correct. But in other words, these are two separate questions. But if we're going to say you cannot cancel a Neder without hearing it, then Kal Vachomer, you can't cancel it before it's been uttered. Right.
So the
you might be able to say, no, Shmia is not Ma'akev. He doesn't need to have heard it. He can come home at the end of the day and say, honey, any Nedarim you made today are canceled. And Lu Yitzu, we would say that would work. You could still say, but a preemptory Hafara wouldn't work because you can't be made. When he comes home at the end of the day and says, honey, he's a newlywed. You have to say, you come home at the end of the day. You say, honey, how was your day? How was everything? Oh, don't you look beautiful? All that stuff. And by the way, any nedarim you made today are canceled. So had she made any nedarim, if she hadn't made any nedarim, it's irrelevant. Had she made any nedarim, nagid, that they're canceled.
So the Gemara is making, so there's a...
But you could still say, from this, you learn Shama lav dafka. He doesn't need to have heard it to cancel it, but that's only for nedarim that were already made. But a neder that hasn't yet been made, there's no peremptory. Or you can say, Shama isha, you don't need to have heard it. And since you don't need to have heard it, you can even cancel nedarim that haven't been spoken. Those are the two possibilities.
But the problem with that is that we do have the word Shema.
So Shema might be...
You know, but that's an odd, the Shema might be a general principle that doesn't always apply, or it might mean lav dafka, but we have a problem with that. You have a mitzvah to say that's very specific. You have a mitzvah that's very specific. And we're saying, okay, it's very specific, but it doesn't always apply. That's an odd...
What do you mean it doesn't always apply? What's the mitzvah? Fart nedarim?
You could have a situation in which, yes, that's what the pasuk says, but we don't really mean it all the time.
No, we do mean it, but the pasuk is not meant to be interpreted literally, which is not a problem for us because we do all types of mitzvot that are not interpreted literally. You, for example, have never once put your totafot bein einecho. Right, because there's a Torah Shebichtav and there's a Torah Shebalpeh, and the Torah Shebalpeh is the authoritative received interpretation of how that pasuk is meant to be actualized in the world.
I know, but in this particular case, we're saying no. As general principle, you should hear it. But if you didn't hear it,
that's your reading of the pasuk. That's your reading of the pasuk. But there's a plausible reading. Again, we're still within the realm here of like a Havamina. It'd be a plausible having to say Vishama Isha doesn't mean actually hearing, right? So that's not more far-fetched interpretation of a posuk on the part of Chazal Lu Yitzu. That's the correct interpretation than lots of other.
Yeah, I know, but this is a slightly different case. This is a case in which we are being very careful to follow the words. You know, Isha. In other words, we're taking a pasuk here that's been very carefully that we're careful to observe what period of time is this in the Na'ara's life, a 24-hour period. You know, a lot of things here that we're
okay.
So that we'll take this one word and say, well, no, this one word isn't really. I
but we
what
do
saying.
It
the
for.
Is always giving
we could give lots of other examples,
okay.
Right?
I don't see that really follows.
Lo tivashel gidi b'chalev imo. Right? So...
But the writer probably just means that.
No. The writer, it means you can't cook it, you can't eat it, you can't get hanah from it.
Right, because it says it three times with rationing.
Seder. But the posuk says tivashel. Vakasha, somebody else cooked it up. Give me that cheeseburger.
But in any event, the lie.
Seder.
In any event, okay. Okay.
I'm not talking about a dirabonon is lo tevashel gidi b'chalev imo, you can't have chicken parmesan.
No, no,
say this, that's a dirabonon. But who said,
why
can't I eat it? Torah says don't cook it.
Right. No, you're right. So it's a drasha from the fact that it appears three times.
Right? By drasha, let's be clear what you mean.
It means that is
the definitive received tradition of what that pasuk means in force.
But I just want to get this clear. If you're saying that when it says Vishama Isha, it's Lavdavka that he heard it, that doesn't necessarily follow to say that he can be mefer an adat neder that hasn't been made yet.
Shalom, you're absolutely correct. But again, there are two points here. One is, does he literally have to have heard it?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is, can you make a preemptive hafara? If the answer to the first question is you literally have to have heard it, then the door is closed. Obviously, you can't do a preemptive hafara of a neder that hasn't yet been spoken. Because if it hasn't been spoken, then you certainly didn't hear it. And if the answer to the first question is shmia dafka, you have to have literally heard it, so then there can't be a preemptive. Then there's no... But even if the answer to the first question... Shmiya's lav dafka. You don't need to literally have heard it. So it leaves the question open for the next step. And it could be that we say Shmiya's lav dafka, v'chozot, for some other reason. You can't do a preemptive hafara. But if the answer to the first question is Shmiya lav dafka, right? Shmiya dafka, that you have to have literally heard the neder, so then there's nothing to talk about, preemptive, right? So, in other words, it's a two-step, right? You're in finance, not in computers, but you understand, right?
That point I wanted to clarify. See, if the husband's going away and he says, you know, he wants to do a preemptive thing, and he says, any data that you make on the way is void, okay? Okay, but we don't know what the status of that is yet. But what's to prevent the husband from doing hafara every evening?
According to the Havamin in the Gemara.
He's in Italy and she's in whatever, I don't know. She's in Israel.
Oh, so in Achinami. And that's a different question. If it's Shmiel Lav Dafka, if we want to say, the answer to the first question is Shmiel Lav Dafka doesn't need to have heard it. But, he can't do it preemptively. So every night he can just issue a, hello out there. We'll see in a moment. It has to be a verbal declaration. Hello out there. All of my wife's nedarms are canceled.
He doesn't have to necessarily hear this.
No. And he can tell her, listen, honey. Every day, twice a day, I'm gonna be made for your nedarim. So any nedarim you make, right? Know that by remote I am being made for them, right? And then he just has to remember to do it. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara says, what do you need? What do you even need this whole idea of a preemptive hafara since he has such exclusive rights? La'achar ha'maaseh, let him. So it says, Dilma mitradina. Maybe I'll get distracted and I'll forget to. And I'll forget.
But it's also doing it for the wife. It's good because that way, if she is over on the net there, then she doesn't get, she's not punished.
She's not, if she's over on what she thinks is the net there, unbeknownst to her, it's already been canceled.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara. Presumably we could come out with an app that would, you know, look. Yeah, the Sefiras HaOmer has been outsourced to our apps. Nobody, like, you know, what's the excuse to forget Sefiras HaOmer today? Right?
Switching phones.
You beseder, you get an email and you get a phone, you get a WhatsApp, you get an
SMS. No, I meant when you switch your phones. Yeah, right. If you didn't get the, again, so, Chazal, my Android,
today,
I know how to
today,
do it.
Today, Chazal would say it's also to switch your phone during Sefiras HaOmer.
Yeah.
Right? And the Gemara will want to know, is it because you have to make a shechionu on a new phone, or is it because lest you'll come to mess up all your apps and forget yourself? Okay. So look at the Gemara. The third line. Boi Rami Bar Chama. Cheresh Mahu. Say there. So here's a good litmus test about the requirement of hearing. What about a deaf husband? What about a deaf husband? Let's presume for the time being that by cheresh here, we're talking about a man who cannot hear what in English is called deaf, but can speak. Cheresh in halachic literature often means a deaf mute. But here, let's presume we're talking about a cheresh who can't hear. Somebody who lost his hearing, right? They got married, he was fine, he went hard of hearing. And he can't hear, but he can speak. The problem, most Meforshim say that that's the case here, because if he's cheresh and if he's a cheresh, meaning deaf mute, so according to halacha, although in modern times we're a little more broad-minded about these things, but technically speaking, Chazal thought a deaf mute was in the category of a shote. And therefore, he did not have those kinds of rights over his wife's nedarim, right? So that's why most before said this is somebody who's gone deaf. So cheresh mahu she afer leishto im timtzalomar. If you want to say, what does im timtzalomar do?
Opening up the two sides of it.
Correct. In other words, Eboy is saying, what does Eboy say? As Argamara began, I'm sorry, not Eboy said, Argamara began Boe, which is the same root as Eboy it Ema. What does Boe mean?
You want to discuss something?
No.
Give me the question.
No. Even you have been here long enough to have said this a dozen times. Boi has three meanings. Who's somebody called Steve? 10 years ago. Bo'e has three meanings. To inquire, to require, or to desire. Bo'e, they inquired, he inquired. In other words, if there's a piece of information you need or require, right, something, a piece of information you're asking for, right, that's why it's a question. A question is there's a need, is that you have a need for a piece of knowledge, as opposed to meitve or reminhu, which are attack questions. Bo'e or I bo'it ema is not an attack question. It's an information question. The Gemara wants to know a halacha. What about the case of a cheresh? Now, if we can answer that question about the case of a cheresh, we might have an answer to our larger question. That this bo'e is nestled within a larger question of, is shmiya dafka or lav dafka? Does he or does he not need to hear? Does he or does he not need to hear the neder itself? And that's connected to a secondary question of a preemptive hafara, right? So you see, it's becoming a complicated house of cards here, right? So now, boy, we have a, let's ask a question about the cheresh. Mahu. Mahu means,
what's the status of the guy to begin?
Right, correct. What is the halacha? So a boy .. mahu is usually followed by im timtza lomar. If you want to say X, then...
If you want to say that your husband could do it without hearing...
If you want to say X, so then it'll be this. And if you want to say Odilma, or maybe it's the exact opposite. So the im timtza lomar is a signpost that tells you you're at a fork in the road. Either it's this or it's that. Either it's this side of the coin or it's that side of the coin. So im timtza lomar bal mefir blo shmiya, a husband can cancel without hearing the neder, without literally hearing the neder, without actually hearing the neder. Why? So then how do you deal with Ben's problem? Ben has his nose out of joint. Because the pasuk says Vishama Isha. So how do you read the word Vishama? Mishum debar mishmahu. The husband could hear it. Right? It doesn't mean that he literally has to hear it. He actually has to hear it. It means that a husband is in the parsha of hearing things. So since a husband's in the parsha of hearing things, so he can cancel the neder. Aval cheresh the lav bar mishmahu, a deaf person who is not within the category of hearing things. Hainu de Rabbi Zeira. Then that would be the case of the halacha of Rabbi Zeira. What is the halacha of Rabbi Zeira? The Omar Rabbi Zeira. This is a halacha in Menachos. What's the...
You were looking for an example to give me where the Torah doesn't necessarily mean exactly what it says.
No. This is not a... This is not the...
Is my cave or not my cave?
Right.
Right. So...
Correct, but this is an easier case. This is an easier case. Why?
I wonder.
Kol haraui lebila. Bila is the halacha that you have to mix the menachot with oil. Shemen belula. Right? Right? So that the kemach and the oil gets mixed together. Now, there's an interesting thing in the Torah. Whenever Blila gets mentioned, the home address being Vayikra Perek Bet. You've learned this recently.
No, I just like the way they do the home address. That's very nice.
The Torah describes that menachot are offered mixed with oil. But it's never actually explicitly stated in the language of a mitzvah that the mincha has to be mixed with oil. It's mentioned not as a mitzvah, it's mentioned as a descriptor. This is how menachot go.
In which case it would be
so from this, Chazal or Rabbi Zeira learns Kol ha-ra'ui la-vila ein vila ma'akevet. You should mix in the oil lechatchila, but b'di'eved, if you didn't mix in the oil, it's kosher.
So why do you say this is an easier case?
Listen. V'chol she'ein ra'ui la-vila bila ma'akevet bo. In other words, you bring a Shnei Esronim Solet. How much is Shnei Esronim Solet? I don't know, like 2 liters of flour. Like 2 bags of flour. 3 bags of flour. Right? So you should mix in the oil with it. But if you didn't do it, if you forgot, if for some reason it wasn't done, your korban is kosher. Why? Because you could have mixed in the flour. What would be a case when you can't mix in the flour? What?
Forgot to bring the oil.
No. In other words, it's not that you couldn't do it for a technical. It's this flour is ra'ui. It's possible to mix flour into this oil. Ella what ma? You forgot. Right? Or, I don't know, in the times of the Matzor, maybe there was, I don't know that this is a case, but in the times of the siege on Jerusalem, maybe there was flour in the storehouse, but they'd run out of oil. I don't know. But that would be a case of, you could put oil in it, except...
How would you put oil in if the oil, actually, you didn't have oil? That's still...
Yeah, because that's what it means, ra'ui. Right? It's
flour, it's solid that's capable of being mixed with oil.
Right.
But what solid isn't capable of being mixed with oil?
Ah. Rabbi Zeira says, if you bring so much flour, right? If you bring 60 Yisronim of flour, which is like 50 liters, right? So in industrial baking today, maybe you can, in Angel today, maybe that you can do it because you have these big mixers. It's not possible to do the bila, the mixing, like what we would call kneading, you know, like when we knead flour and water together. If you have that much dough, you have to separate it into two portions because it's just not possible to mix, physically possible to mix that much flour together. So if you bring that much flour, right, and you don't do the adding the oil, then it's ma'akev.
No, but you couldn't just take out from the amount that was there, the Esronim?
No, you could, but if you're makdish all this flour, and you bring it all as one portion up to Beit HaMikdash, it's pasul, right. Because it was not ra'ui lebila. It was not possible to do it, right? Because it's just too large. Had you split it into two portions, then you could have done that. So here you have a case of if it's possible to do it, and you just forgot the oil, it's not ma'akev, b'di'eved. But if it was never possible, in other words, when you bring two shnei esronim solet, two bags of flour, is it ra'ui labila? Yes. Could you do bila? Yes. Elama, you forgot. B'di'eved, it's okay. Why? Because from the beginning, it was possible to have done it. And you should have done it. Next time, be better. But you forgot. But if you start out with a situation where lechatchila, you can't do it because it's not physically possible, then it's makiv. So how would that be like our case of the Cheresh. But anyway, the husband doesn't hear it.
But he could.
Right. So how do you read the Pasuk? And how do we read the case, in the case of Nedarim, how do we read the case of Nedarim? How do we read the case of Nedarim if we presume the halacha of Rabbi Zeira in Menachos applies to Nedarim?
That husband, if, even if he can't hear, can
speak. So what does Vishama Isha mean?
Her husband is not deaf. Could hear.
That her husband is capable of hearing. What is the opposite? What's the word for somebody who's not deaf? Somebody who can hear.
We were trying to be a little more.
He has auditory capabilities.
Yeah.
Right. But if he should he should hear. But if he didn't hear it,
it's not
ma'akev. He can still be mefer. And if he's a cheresh, so then he can't. He loses those rights. Right? He's lawfully wedded. He has all the obligations of a husband. She has all the obligations of a wife. He loses out this one particular, rather narrowly constructed right over her nadarim. Right? A woman that likes to make nadarim and to be left alone should, you know, when she goes on J-date, she should search only for deaf people.
So why would you extend this further to say that he has to be in the same city as her? Meaning, saying to have heard it. What I'm saying is, if he's not in the same country,
right,
then why wouldn't you extend this to say that, you know, there's no possibility for him to have heard it if they're not in...
Because that's not what Bar Mishma means. It means that people who are deaf are potter from hearing Kriyat HaMegillah. Mm-hmm. Right? You have an obligation to hear the Megillah, you have an obligation to hear the Shofar, I have an obligation. Achmon is somebody who's deaf. He has lots of other mitzvot, but this mitzvah, obviously, it's not connected to him. Right?
It would be your husband in the other city would be like there was a matzor and there's no oil. The amount of flour that would have been capable of being mixed.
Yeah, but I look at it as saying is you're capable if you're in the same city because perhaps you were at the same place where she made the neder, so you could have heard it when she recited it. As opposed to saying if you're not in the same city, then there's not even feasible for you to have been nearby when she made the neder to be able to hear it.
That's not what the Gemara is saying here. The Gemara is saying here, a husband who is capable of hearing need not hear the neder in order to have rights to cancel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out why it doesn't mean...
The same as there's no oil in your shine. There's no oil. It was a bad year, there's no oil. But the flour is still estronium, and it could have, if there had been oil, it would have been capable of being mixed. And it's still, you're still allowed to make the offering. Same thing, that would be parallel.
Again, I would hear that if you say, if it's talking about a city, saying he didn't hear it, but there was a possibility he could have driven home at the time she said it, so then he was in the ability to reach it at the time. But you know what? He happened to be at work at the time she said it.
There's no oil in the country.
But that's where I'm going, though, is what I'm saying is, but this is, I'm seeing the slightly different side of it. And that's where I'm trying to figure out.
I understand what your question, but it's not the answer. So the Gemara says, maybe the reason is because of the comparison to the case of Menachot. Mm-hmm. Right? Odilma v'shama isha lo ma'akev. Right? That the need to hear it is bechal, not ma'akev. In which case the cheresh would also be able to cancel it. Not the rabba. The cheresh is in a better position. The cheresh may not have heard it, but that doesn't mean that he's unaware of it. Right? Maybe he reads lips. Maybe somebody wrote him out a note. Maybe somebody sign languaged it to him. Maybe the wife sign languaged it to him. Right? So he's certainly aware of the net there, but he didn't hear it through his ears, not fulfilling the literal edict of the Pasuk Vishama Isha. So maybe Vishama Isha is not Makiv. And then he can, which so he's in so in that case the Cheresh is in a better we would presume is in a it's more reasonable to allow him to be mefer than a husband who's not even in the same city, who's just going to say at the end of the day, any nedarim my wife made, whatever they might have been, are canceled. What would we say today? Vishama Isha. If you want to say Vishama Isha is literal pasuk, and so a cheresh, is that right? So what? So your wife, you're on a business trip, your wife sends you a text. Right? I've just made a neder to give away whatever it is. I've just made a neder. I'm never going to cook tasty food for you again. Whatever it is. So maybe he'll lo shama. Maybe Shmi is makiv. So do you say that also? So Omar of Atashma. So how do we have to, you know, we got to get to an end of this. We got to get an end to this question. We've been back and forth so many times. So Tashma, listen to this, Bryson. Vishama Isha Prat Le'eshet Cheresh Shma Mino. No. Shma, it's like we suggested. Vishama Isha does not literally mean that the husband has to hear it. What is Shema Vishama Isha coming to teach?
Has to be aware to hear.
The husband has to be able to hear it, whether he actually does or not. Shema Mina. So that is the conclusion. Shmia is Lav Dafka. But a cheresh does not have rights over the hafara of his wife's nidar.
So in the way the Gemara is working here, basically Rabba is just saying, he's concluding this whole sugya and saying, no, this is how the Tashma is.
Yeah, in other words, this is the final proof from a brisa. Tashma introduces a brisa which serves as a proof. Right? Shma Mina is the sof pasuk telling you this is the, from this we learn out, the halacha. You might want to ask, so why didn't the Gemara just bring the Brisa to begin with? Well, you learned enough Gemara to know that's not the case. But had the Gemara just introduced the Brisa at the beginning, we would not have gotten to the topic of the preemptive.
Yeah. What's happening now is that the husband was able to hear. So when he becomes aware of the nether, even if he hasn't heard it, he can be mefer.
Does he have to be aware of it?
He doesn't need to even be aware of it. If he makes a blanket retroactive.
The blanket one also is right. And the cheresh, even if he is aware of it,
yeah. It's a limitation on the rights of a cheresh, just like unfortunately there are limitations on the responsibilities of a cheresh. Cheresh is obviously not responsible to, it's a tragic case, but Cheresh is obviously not responsible for mitzvot of Shmia, like Tkiyat Shofar, like Mikra Megillah, Bechulei. It would be unreasonable to be mechayev him in something that he's physically incapable of doing. But because of the technicality of this pasuk, a Cheresh is also loses his rights over his wife or his daughter's nidarim. What about cochlear implants? So these are interesting new questions, which the Gemara was unaware of.
Hearing aids. Hearing aids, not really hearing.
Right, well, hearing aids are different than cochlear implants. But a hearing aid is you are hearing, but it's just amplified through.
You heard it on a telephone.
Right.
Same thing with the regular on the telephone.
Right. Cochlear implants, and it's a hearing aid is essentially, you know, a microphone, you know, pointed into your ear canal, you know, which is not much different than I sometimes do this if there's noise coming from the other side. This is a very primitive hearing aid by cupping your ear, right? And it greatly increases your ability to hear things, right? Or like those old, you know, they look like a shofar that old people used to go around, you know, those ear horns, right? Which would just amplify the opposite of a megaphone, right? It would just amplify the sound coming into your ear. Cochlear implants are completely different. Cochlear implants skip over and go right into the brain. So, okay, but that's a different topic. Now the Gemara asks, Iboy Lahu, Bal Mahu Shiafer L'Shtei Nashav B'Vat Achat. Reuven is married to Sarah and to Rivka. And they each make a neder. So now he has rights over both of these nedarim. But he's a lazy guy. He doesn't want to have to say twice, your neder is cancelled and your neder is cancelled. Can he just, with one utterance, cancel both of them? Now, I know what you're thinking. This is a silly question.
He has one wife, and she's made two nedarim. He said, all your nedarim are canceled.
Yes.
Yes. So why should this be different?
Why should this be different? So the Gemara says, Iboil hu baal maush yafel shtei nasha bevat achat. Ota dafka, olav dafka. The Pasuk says, where's the Pasuk, Kevin? Pasuk says, oh, you have the Pasuk. Yeah, okay. Right, and the husband is cancels ota, her neder. So ta is lashon yachid, her neder, right? Not their nedarim. Right? So maybe ota singular means that each act of hafara can only be done for one woman at a time. Ah, but that's plural nedarim, but singular woman. Right. So we want to know, is ota dafka or lav dafka? And as this sugya is obviously piggybacking on... You don't have to check your notes. It's the thing we just did.
Yeah.
Is Shmiel dafka or lav dafka? So here is ota dafka or lav dafka.
This is sort of an interesting issue, though, because we seem to, let's say we said it's lav dafka, and we've said that Shmiel is lav dafka as long as the person is able to. So in terms of taking this pasuk Torah, and we're like picking each of these words one at a time and saying, it doesn't really mean what it says.
Right.
Now, I know that there are a couple other cases. There's some very valid cases in the Torah. Chachila, I've always said, it doesn't really mean what it says. But these are specific mitzvah, exactly, which it's true that, you know, Ezra and Mora is very specific about which it is. I guess you could say there are plenty of precedents.
Right. Ayin tachayin. I mean, there's no end of examples of, and even psukim where you want to say, look, in other words, ben sora morer, so you say like the whole thing was never actually applied, but the words mean what they mean,
right?
Or they, I mean, the words mean what they mean within given what Chazal say they mean, and what Chazal say they mean is like Chazal had this desire to mitigate the case of Ben Sor Moreh. So they learn the psukim
in such a way
that it's a law that remains on the books, but the planets would all have to align in such a freakish way that we would actually carry it out.
Right.
You know, it's not the case of Halacha Vein Morin Kane, but it's the concept. Right? In other words, what's the problem? The idea of Ben Sora Mora is like a problematic thing. So we say, we can't say it doesn't exist. We're canceling this halacha. The halacha exists, it's just, and it's in force. Elama, in order for it to actually happen, you would have to have such a freakish set of circumstances that it's not actually going to happen.
Right. So then, really, the lomake is not like
correct.
That at all. So lo makev is a more interesting situation because, yeah, the same pasuk, we're possibly setting it up. The word after word in the pasuk doesn't mean what it says.
Right, or maybe this word means it literally and that word means figuratively. Right? So tashma, Hold on, wait, I lost my place. Abal ma'u shi'afer l'shtei nashav bevat achat ota dafka olav dafka. When it uses her singular in the posuk, he can be made for the nedarim of her. Is it dafka to teach you? You can only do one at a time, or not? It's the two. What would be the havamina that it's not? Most people only have one wife, so the Torah talks belashon yachid, but maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be. So Omar Avina Tashma, ein mashkin shtei sotot ka'achat. If a man has two wives, and they each are a case of a sota, he tells them each, don't be alone with so-and-so. And he comes home, and they're each alone. One's in the living room with so-and-so, and one's in the kitchen with so-and-so. He's taking the Beis HaMikdash for the sota. So can he have two simultaneous sotas at once? So the Brisa says you don't mashkin. Mashkin means to give her to drink from the water, the soda waters, of simultaneously. Mipnei sheliba gas bechavirta. Because what's the problem when they go to do the sota?
One will protest their innocence, and the other one will think she can also protest.
Right. And it's when you go to in a regular case, in a case when a man has one wife and he brings her to the Beit HaMikdash for sota, right? So the Beis Din does everything they can to get her to confess, right?
So she doesn't have to go through this.
So she doesn't have to go through this, and also, although we're probably concerned, you know, for her, they're also concerned about the problem of having to do a sota. Because doing the sota requires mechikat Hashem,
right,
which is like this very serious thing. So we want to do anything possible to avoid doing it. So what's the problem? Maybe one of them taka is guilty and one of them taka is innocent. So if you bring both of them together and one of them's taka innocent, so she's going to insist that she's going to correctly stand up for her innocence. The one who's guilty will not confess because she now it's really embarrassing. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing enough for her to confess that she was improperly with another man. But here, her co-wife, her husband's other wife, is going to say she's innocent. I'm going to admit I'm guilty. So because doing two sotas at once creates a disincentive for her to confess if she's actually guilty, so you don't do two sotas at once in order to avoid that. So maybe from the side of this, what has this got to do with...
It may not.
What has this got to do with two wives in the darim?
It may have nothing
to do, but it's the closest parallel. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo min Hashem hu. That's not the reason that you can't do two at once. The reason you can't do two at once is ela mishum shene'emar vehishka ota levada.
In which case we take ota.
In sota there's the word ota. And Rabbi Yehuda, at least, it's a machlokis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa. The Tanakhama says you can't do two sotas at once because of the problem of giving a disincentive to a guilty party to confess. If that's the case, this has nothing to do with our case in the Zohar. Rabbi Yehuda says the reason you don't do two sotas at once is because the pasuk says ota. That's singular. That means do one at a time. So that sounds like what?
Sounds like we just had.
That sounds like we could cut and paste from the case of sota, or learn something from the case of sota to the case of nedarim, that ota is dafka. Ota is dafka, and you can't do two at once. And therefore, this poor husband, in order to exercise his rights, he has to say, your neder is cancelled. And then he has to turn and say, your neder is cancelled. You think a guy has two wives, he'd have a little extra free time on his hands. He could cancel both nedarim.
Get a word in edgewise.
At once. Oh, maybe that's the problem. He can't get the word in edgewise. Yeah. Right? So that's the... So
well,
what's,
they'll be talking to each other, so then he can actually say it.
No, so what's the halacha? Is it like the Tanakhama, or is it like Rabbi Yehuda? So So this is a machlok. The Gemara does not resolve this. Two dots. The next page begins with a Mishnah, with a new Mishnah. The Gemara does not resolve this.
It resolves it without even admitting that it hasn't resolved it.
No, in other words, it brings the Braisa. Notice it says Toshma, but there's no Shma Mina at the end. Notice, normally, these are like the signposts. Toshma, come and listen to this, usually a Braisa. And the Braisa will provide the answer to the Iboilahu, Mahu. An information question. What is the halacha about two wives at once? Toshma, come and listen to this Braisa, and the Braisa will answer your question. Shma Mina. Shma Mina. Infer from this, learn from this, conclude the following. We're lacking the Shma Mina here. The Gemara does not definitively resolve the case.
To lack a conclusion without noting
have to run
a conclusion?
We would maybe it's left inconclusive. The Gemara does not pass in every Shiloh.
No, but sometimes right? It'll say Teiku, or sometimes it'll say something that'll indicate that this is being left.
Correct. I don't know. That's a question. We can punch it through the computer. So it's a machlokas rishonim. What's the case? The Ramban and the Rosh say that ota means ein mafirin l'shtei nashim biyachad, meaning that we learn like Rabbi Yehuda, that we learn from the case of Rabbi Yehuda's din of the sota back to the case in the darim. But most rishonim. And it could be, we have to look at the Gemara in Sota. This is the Gemara in Sota, Daf, Chet. In other words, it could be that the Gemara in Sota is left unresolved. Because there's no nafkamina. In other words, this is a perfect example, right? Why does the Gemara record rejected opinions? There's two opinions here in Sota, but there's no machlokes ledina. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you can't do two Sotas at once.
They're only disagreeing about
they
why.
Disagree about the reason why. You know, it at the end matter. Of the day, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, like we just right. There was just this case, this Supreme Court case. About searches and seizures, big Supreme Court case in America, and now there's only 8 justices on the Supreme Court, so it was five to three, right, to give the police more expansive rights over searches, right? So Justice Sotomayor wrote a scathing dissent, and Justice Ginsburg wrote a concurring dissent, meaning they voted the same way, but for different reasons. Or in the majority, you could have a majority vote, you know, one way, and that becomes the Constitution.
But for different reasons.
But for right, you have 5 justices pass the law for 5 different reasons. It doesn't matter because the law now becomes that this is how we interpret the Constitution. So here. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda agree.
You can't do
two sotas at once. For different reasons. One, because of the disincentive li bagas, the disincentive to the guilty party.
And
Rabbi Yehuda for the way he reads the pasuk. There's no nafkamina. What do you need to record both positions? There is no nafkamina when it comes to sota. But there's a huge nafkamina when it comes to nadarim.
Right.
Because if the reason, when it comes to Sota, the Tanakhama says this, Rabbi Yehuda says that, either way, you can't do two Sotas at once. But depending upon what the reason is, that will point you in two opposite directions when you're applying it to Nadarim. If the reason is because of Li Bagas, that's irrelevant when it comes to Nadarim. And we would say,
right,
you can cancel two Nadarim at once. If the reason is that the word Ota is a significant word, then we can at least imply that it means that. But since there's no resolution in Sota, because there doesn't need to be a resolution in Sota, because there's no nafkamina lahalacha. Mm-hmm. Right? So here, at best, we can bring it as a kind of idea. Right. But since there's no operative answer in Sota, because there doesn't need to be, when we cut and paste the sugya from Sota to Nadarim, it's left open-handed. Right. So then it's a machlokas rishonim. So the Ramban and the Rosh say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that otam means singular, and therefore you cannot be mefer to the nedarim of two wives at once. And the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and everyone else say, no, it's mutter, that you can be mefer to nedarim at once.
Sure.